God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Good reminder, yeah? Our scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 4 and verses 18 and 19. Luke 4, 18 and 19, and there it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." We will turn the time over to Tom and the Holy Spirit.
To go along with the Ten Commandments, Sheila and I are going to sing the Lord's Prayer to you. And if you're familiar with the tune, join in if you would. And that's Matthew chapter 6, and it starts in verse 9. Chapter 6, verse 9, if you want to follow along. And we don't have the music for this, so it's a cappella, but that's okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Thank you. You know, as we enter this first day of the new year, hope that we'll keep in mind the standards that God has set before us, his commandments, his requirements, that we live a life worthy to be called a Christian, because he gives us the power to do it, and he expects us to follow through. Today our topic is liberty. What is liberty, and why should anyone desire it? Do people really desire it, or did they just say they desire it? In Luke 4:18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Think about that while we have our opening prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your watch care. We ask that your word today would be impressed upon our mind, and give us your blessing. For this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. This same verse is repeated in Isaiah. Very similar. In Luke is Jesus saying it. He also says it in, but it comes from Isaiah. Chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. It's worded slightly different, but it's taken from. And I thought I'd read that one too, because of the difference in it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Vengeance is a comforter? Does that seem reasonable, that vengeance, in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn? Does vengeance sound to you like it should be a comforter? That's what it says. But it's God's vengeance, not yours, and not mine. There's a few quotes to do with liberty. Benjamin Franklin: they who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporal safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Patrick Henry. How many know what this one is? Give me liberty or give me death. Benjamin Franklin. This one is pertinent to our day. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech. That's Benjamin Franklin. John Adams. Liberty must at all hazards be supported. We have a right to it, derived from our Maker. But if we had not, our fathers have earned and bought it for us at the expense of their ease, their estates, their pleasure, and their blood. John Witherspoon. There is not a single instance in history in which civil liberty was lost and religious liberty preserved entire. If, therefore, we yield up our temporal property, we at the same time deliver the conscience into bondage. That's how powerful liberty is. So at this point, liberty is just a word. But what does liberty do? If I say I have liberty, could I have skipped church and gone out to breakfast and to the mall? Or is true liberty bound up in conformity? Does liberty have rules? Can I do whatever I want and still be free? Let's go to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119. 44 and 45. Psalms 119, 44 and 45. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. That was David. He says, I will walk at liberty because I seek thy precepts. David had a comprehension. Obedience to God's law leads to liberty. Interesting concept, isn't it? But there are those in our society who want liberty from the law. The Hebrews were in Egyptian bondage. They cried day and night to God for release from their bondage. God called Moses with the purpose of setting his people at liberty. But did they really want it? Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, and we'll go verse 5 through 10. Exodus chapter 3, 5 through 10. And this is Moses' experience, and kind of gives a synopsis. I'm sure we've all read it, but for the purpose of the topic. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians have oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So the children of Israel were crying before God. They wanted liberty. They wanted freedom from their oppressors, right? But did they really want it? Let's go to Exodus 16, 1 through 3. Let's see, did they really want it? 45 days after being out of Egypt. This is when this takes place. 45 days later, less than about a month and a half. It's all it took. Exodus 16, 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would God we had died at the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. 45 days, a month and a half, and the liberty they had, they despised. they preferred the bondage of Egypt. When prisoners in the United States are released, they face an environment that is challenging and actively deters them from becoming productive members of society. Did you know that? Within 3 years of release, how many do you think are rearrested? Within 3 years, what do you think? What's the percentage? 67.8%. If they came out of jail, one would assume that they probably wouldn't want to go back. They would want liberty. 67.8% go back to jail. And within 5 years, 76.6% opt for committing a crime that takes them back to jail. Why would this be? When you're in jail, certainly you would want liberty. But once they're out, they prefer bondage. And they end up going back. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Just a short little verse. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So by contrast, if then, it's a mathematical term, if then, if where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, then where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there is bondage. Simple as that. Now let's be straight. Some people might prefer bondage. True? Moses, when they were on the borders of the promised land, wanted the liberty to enter into Canaan, but God refused because of the sin that he had done. We learned that in last week's Sabbath school class. I believe it was last week. He wanted liberty to enter Canaan despite that he had sinned, and the Lord refused him. But God did give him liberty to enter into heaven through death instead. So through death, Moses received liberty. Strange concept, isn't it? Because Moses passed from life to death, and then he was resurrected to enter heaven. The ultimate liberty. What liberty do you seek? Galatians 2:4. Galatians 2:4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought into the church, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Do we comprehend this point? There are those who want us in bondage. And bondage is separation from God. Bondage is a separation from the Spirit. Separation from the commandments that we just quoted. That's all bondage. Even if it feels like freedom, it's bondage. And there is no place in heaven for that. So now consider Christmas. Jesus comes to earth to set man free. All Israel is looking to that Messiah who has promised to set free the captives. They looked longingly for that time when they would again be a great nation, free from Roman oppression. But there's an underlying rule. We all know about rules, rules of nature. Those who cannot control themselves must be controlled. Or, in other words, those who cannot be controlled from within must be controlled from without by others. Israel had a long history of not being able to control themselves, and therefore God put them under the control of Rome, because under the control of Rome, at least they would be controlled, because they couldn't control themselves. So God gave them freedom. They wanted to return to Egypt. God finally got them into the land of the promise without governmental rule. What did they want? They wanted a king, so they could be under the bondage of a king. They had religious freedom. They wanted to be bound by superstition and false gods. Now here comes the Messiah, and they want to crucify him, throwing themselves deeper into allegiance with Rome while claiming to want freedom from Rome. Let's go to Matthew 5, 40 through 48. Matthew 5, 40 through 48. And this is part of why they rejected Jesus. They wanted freedom from Rome. They wanted Rome ousted. They wanted Rome under their feet. They wanted this submission to Rome that they had to do. They wanted it gone. And what is Jesus telling them to do? Matthew 5, 40 through 48. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Now, back then, the Roman law was that if a Roman, and I'm not sure if it was just any Roman or if it was a soldier, but if a Roman came up to you being a Jew and said, carry my whatever, you were obligated by law to carry it for a mile. And if you refused, you're in trouble. Didn't matter what you were doing, didn't matter how important your day was. Somebody comes up and says, here, carry this for me. You are obligated to carry it for a mile. And Jesus says, no, carry it too. Don't reject it, carry it too. Don't fight it, don't complain about it. Carry it 2 miles instead of one. Is this what you want to hear if you want the Romans under your feet? Is this the kind of freedom that you want? 42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, do not turn thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love the Romans, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Upside down with our thought of freedom, isn't it? Our thought of freedom, our thought of liberty is to do what I want to do. But the whole concept is bondage. As soon as my freedom is about me, it's bondage. Have we thought about that? Matthew 5, 13 and 14. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. but love, or but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So charity equals love. And charity and love equal liberty. 2 Peter 2:18 and 19. 2 Peter 2:18 and 19. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they make themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom is a man overcome? Of the same is he brought into bondage. Immoral liberty equals bondage and death. There's no such thing as immoral liberty. Not if you're a Christian. When God offered liberty to those who are bound, did it apply to John the Baptist? What do you think? We have all these texts promising liberty. What about John the Baptist? Did it apply to the disciples? John died in confinement. The rest died a martyr's death. Where did that liberty that was promised, where did it go? Was this the liberty that he was promising? You think about that. Did they have liberty? Moses found liberty through death. He did not get the liberty he wanted. But through death, he found access to heaven. Sometimes liberty isn't what we perceive it to be. James 1, 22 through 25. James 1, 22 through 25. But ye be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So now the law that we just read earlier is liberty. That is where we find liberty. But you cannot find that liberty if you only hear it. You must be a doer as well. Is it possible that when Jesus offered liberty to those in bondage, he was offering a knowledge of his law and the power to keep it? That knowledge and conformity with it equals liberty from this world and all the evil in it, whether through a changed long life, such as is offered in the fifth commandment, Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, or a temporary death that transitions into everlasting life. Either way is the narrow road which offers liberty. If that liberty he spoke was of primarily earthly, there are many Christians who never saw it. But when a knowledge of God's law is the foundation of liberty, whether in prison or soaring like an eagle, all is liberty. All is liberty if you're in harmony with God's word It's all liberty. And it doesn't matter if you're in bondage physically. If you're in harmony with God, whether you're Paul in prison or Peter in prison, if you're in harmony with God, you're at liberty. Or John the Baptist in prison, you're at liberty. Because there is a greater freedom, a greater liberty to come. But if you're out of harmony with the law of liberty and you have no desire, then bondage is the only result. Physical freedom equals bondage if it's out of harmony with God. What was our final song? I didn't bring the bulletin up with me. I surrender all. 309, I surrender all. And I pray that that is our song when it comes to surrendering our life to the one who can offer true liberty.